times when we just need to center ourselves so that we can prepare to receive what the Lord has for us. There are times when we need to block out some things that have happened during the week, some things that we are going through. The scripture says that I will bless the Lord, and his praise shall, well, before we even begin the message that Pastor Todd Atkins, senior pastor of the Salem Institutional Baptist Church of Dallas, my pastor, will come and bring, before we even begin the message, I believe we ought to start, if we can, on our feet, just giving God just a moment of praise and just blessing his holy name. Pastor Todd Atkins.
Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. Somebody ought to give God some glory. Somebody ought to give God some praise. To God be the glory for all the things he has done. To God be the glory for all the things he has done. I'm going to try one more time. To God be the glory for all the things he has done. We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to a man whom I love, Pastor Joshua. Let's give it up for Pastor Joshua. I think it must be recognized so often, pastors just do church, but sometimes you got to do kingdom work. And what we experienced this morning was kingdom work. But how many of you know you can't do kingdom work unless you're kingdom-minded? Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. And let's thank God for a kingdom-minded pastor. Well, Pastor Joshua, thank you. May God bless you. And to this young lady, may God bless you. And may God keep you. And Pastor Joshua's a strong man. But if he can't get it done, I got some folk in the sunny South Dallas. We not as articulate, but we know how to go through the back door and make sure stuff get done. Amen. Hallelujah. And when we do it, we don't need no cameras. Amen. Because some of us are on the run and we don't want us. To God be the glory. Let me read this word. Go with me. The two passages of scripture, one in the Old and one in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, Psalms 150. Psalms 150. If you have it, say amen. Put your finger there, then go to the New Testament, the book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. If you have it, say amen. If not, just fake it and look at the screen. And won't nobody know but you. I want to read the reading from Acts first and conclude with Psalms 150. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, somebody shout, a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John and said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting, somebody shout, expecting. to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking. Somebody shout walking. And leaping. Somebody shout leaping. And praising God. Somebody say praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Psalms 150, the Bible records these words. I want to read verse number 6 with the most emphasis that I can. The Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let's read that one more time like we believe it. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the word. I thank you for the outpouring of your spirit. I thank God for this moment of opportunity to declare word from you. I stand not to be seen, not to be heard, not to be congratulated, because I'm nothing without you. Father, my mind is nothing without you. My spirit is nothing without you. My vocabulary is nothing without you. My tongue cannot articulate without you. My brain cannot tell my mouth what to say without you. My heart cannot beat without you. So, Father, I lean and depend on you right now. For, Father, I cannot preach unless you have called me. I can't preach unless you inspired me. I can't preach unless you have anointed me. I can't preach unless you use me. And I can't preach unless your spirit saturates this place. So, Father, remove all distractions and keep our mind totally on what you would have to say. And, Father, give me boldness to speak every word you would give me, but give me humility that when you tell me to sit down, I'll sit down. But, Father, if I stand too high, bring me low. If I stand too low, bring me up. I preach that a soul may be saved, a mind may be transformed, and a devil may be chased back to the pits of hell. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. And the people of God said together, amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Turn to your neighbor, grab him by the hand, look at him like you love him, and say, neighbor, pray for the preacher. He's going to talk about the power of praise. Somebody say amen. Amen. The power of praise. This month, you have focus on praise. I've always found praise to be a powerful tool for the Christian. But Pastor Joshua, I must admit, sometimes it seems one of the most difficult principles to teach. What makes it difficult is not its complexity, but it's often its simplicity. It seems too simple that I can tell God thank you, and he can respond by blessing me beyond measure. It's too simple for a nation to walk around Jericho 6 days. And on the seventh day, walk around 6 times. And on the seventh time, when they open up their mouth, the walls come tumbling down. Yet the reason it's simple is because the power of praise rests in the power of God. The power of your praise has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with the power of the God that you're praising. The power is not in our voices, but in the one who gave us voice in the beginning. I got to teach before I preach right here. In Genesis chapter 1, God formed man from the dust of the earth. I'm going to take you to Sunday school. He kneeled down and he formed dust and he formed it into a body. But then he breathed into man the breath of life and man became a living soul. And family, it was that breath of God that gave us life in the beginning. And it's God's breath that has given us the ability to speak. Because you cannot speak unless you have breath. I'm going somewhere. Therefore, the only reason you can speak is because God has given you breath. That's why in Psalms 150 does not require anything from you. The Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. In Psalms 150, verse 6, he says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praising God does not require any of your personal resources.
It does not require your money. It does not require your education. It does not require your car. It does not require your house. It does not require anything that you have amassed, because the Bible says, let everything, not that has money, but let everything that has breath, praise the Lord. What I love about praise, I can be broke and still praise. What I love about praise, I can be unemployed and still praise. What I love about praise, I can be sick and still praise. Because God does not put any prerequisite on it. He only said, let everything that has breath, praise the Lord. It's actually respiration, the gift of God. God says, let everything that has breath, praise the Lord. God is saying, let everything that I have given breath to, use it to praise me. Y'all missed that point right there. God is saying, let everything I've given breath to, use that breath to praise me. Oh, y'all gonna make me work hard. That's all right here. Notice, it's impossible to fulfill this commandment or this request without God. You cannot praise God without breath. That's why the book of Genesis comes before the book of Psalms. Because God have to first give you the ability to praise before he gives you the command to praise. The point is, God gave you the ability, and then he gave you the command. I'm going to make you shout in just a few minutes here. The simple point is, before God asked you to praise, he gave you the ability to praise. Don't miss me when I tell you this. Whatever God asks is an indication of what God has already given. If he tells you to use your breath, it's because he's already given you breath. I wish I can talk to somebody here. That's why, can I make you shout? That's why when he stood at the grave of Lazarus, I believe God gave Lazarus hearing before he gave him resurrection. Because you can't hear somebody call your name unless you got. So God said, before I speak to you, I'm going to open up your ear. I wish I can talk to somebody here. So what I'm trying to get you to understand, we shout when Lazarus came walking out of the grave. I shouted because it takes God to make a dead man hear his name when it's called. I wish I can talk to somebody here. He said, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That make me shout. God gave a dead man hearing, so God can give a dead man resurrection. I got news for you. God gave you hands because he know if you lift your hands, a blessing will come down. God will always give you what you need before you need it. I wish I could just shout with somebody here. God always make ways out of no ways, but sometimes he'll make a way even before you need a way. God is that type of God. God is saying here, if he asks you to praise, it's because he's already giving you breath. If he asks you to give, it's because he's already giving you money. If he asks you to say thank you, it's because he's already giving you a reason to be thankful. Now, somebody may say, parenthetically, Pastor, I don't have a reason to tell thank you. Well, I got news for you. Who is making sure your heart is beating? Who is making sure that your body is operating? I don't know about you, but I don't know nobody in here that's smart enough to say, heart, keep on beating. But we serve an invisible, all-powerful God that even in the midst of everything God has to do, I wish I can talk to somebody here. Sometimes you got to think about how much, can I say this one more thing? God got so much he needs to be doing. God got to make sure Mars don't run into Venus. God got to make sure that the fish got, I wish I can talk. God got to make sure the birds got a line to lay on. God got to make sure the fox got a hole to lay on. And he's still so much God, he made sure that pew is still holding you up. God is so good that God makes sure. Right here in the text here. Watch this. God does not ask until he gives. I said, God does not ask until he gives. Therefore, praise is when you use what God has already given. And anytime you use what God has given, that's praise. I got news for you. You can praise with your mouth, but you can praise with your hands. You can praise with your feet. You can praise on Sunday. You ought to be praising God by showing up on time on Monday. You can praise God through everything that he has given you. But let me make this plain. In Acts chapter 3, we have an unusual encounter between Peter and John and an unnamed lame man. In verse number 2, the Bible says a certain man, somebody shout a certain man. A certain man who was lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate called Beautiful. Luke does not name the man, but he does provide some details about him. He tells us his condition was not the result of an accident, because he was lame from his mother's womb, which means something either happened or didn't happen in the womb that led him to a life of debility. I believe with my limited scientific imagination that some chromosome was left out, some strand of DNA was manipulated, something happened in the womb that when no one knew what happened in that dark place until this child could crawl, but he never could walk. No one knew what happened in that hidden place until he was born. And I believe because Luke is a physician, he is providing more than a simple medical diagnosis. What he is describing was a man who needs God to make up in life what he didn't get in the womb. I said, God, he needs God to make up in life what he didn't get in the womb. What he didn't get physically, he needs God to give him supernaturally. The lesson is, what you don't get from people, you can always get from God. Because his condition tells me he has the physical equipment, but not the supernatural power. Y'all got to walk with me here. Verse 2 says, not only does he reveal his condition, but the man has a condition, but he's also connected. Point number one, praise reveals your connections. Verse number 2, the Bible says he was laid daily at the gate. Family, I must admit, Pastor Joshua, until this week, I had a negative view of the folk that laid him at the gate. Because I believe the only reason they laid him at the gate is so that he can collect money. And when they picked him up, they took part of his money, took him back home, and laid him the same day at the gate to beg so they can take his money again, take him back home, then drop him off the next day, let him beg for money, take his money again, and do the same thing over and over and over again. But the text does not justify that critique. Oh, y'all got to watch me here. I have that opinion because I saw verse 2 in isolation. But until I looked at the word daily, I feel like shouting here. The Bible says, whom they lay daily at the gate. Now, what does that mean? Now, a lame man who could not walk had some they in his life that carried him daily to the gate called Beautiful. Now, what I'm trying to get you to understand, a man who couldn't walk had some they in his life who did his walking for him. Yeah, y'all missed that point here. Now, let me see if I can come at it this way. Therefore, verse number 2 demonstrates that a man had a condition, but he was also connected. The problem is our worldly mind suggests that you can't have a condition and still be connected. That you can't have a problem and still be blessed. That you can't have issues and still have God on your side. But Luke is trying to tell us today that he was lame. That was his condition. But he also had some they who brought him to the temple daily and also took him back home. I came to tell somebody he had to be connected, because I don't know no other lame man that had his personal Uber service. They knew where to pick him up. They knew where to drop him home, and they put him back where he needed to be. The word daily is essential, because if he didn't have daily service, he would not have been here the day Peter and John showed up at the temple. That's your first shout. The shout should not start the day Peter and John showed up. It should start that God was blessing him daily to get him at the gate called Beautiful. I got news for you. Stop waiting on the miracle to bless him. You ought to thank him for every blessing God has already provided. You can't be church folk waiting on God. God, give me a new song. God, give me a new. But I got news for you. You ain't finished shouting on what God has done for you yesterday. If God don't do nothing else for you, he's already done more. I wish I can talk to somebody here. He's done more than enough. He's done more than enough. I got news for you. It's all right to shout on Sunday, but you should have been shouting on Monday when he woke you up. It's all right. Some of us been holding that shout all week long, but I got news for you. God did enough for you on Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday and Friday and Saturday that you ought to be losing your mind. You ought to be able to give God some glory in this place. I don't know who I'm talking to, but this body Bible tells me, stop waiting on the day you get the somebody ought to thank the Lord right now. Somebody ought to put your hands together right now. Somebody may say, well, Luke doesn't say God provided it. Well, Luke don't say it, but Paul says it in Romans chapter 8, where he says, for we know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Because if they didn't bring him daily, he would have missed the day Peter and John arrived. What God does daily is the setup for the day he's going to blow your mind. That made me shout. Let me tell you, that's why I know my enemies can't kill me. That's why I know my negative folk can't deter me. That's why I know backbiters won't win. That's how I know people that are smiling in your face and cuss you out in the next minute. That's how I know you won't be successful. That's how I know you got some folk that's lying on you right now, and they sitting right next to you acting like they love you. But I came to tell every devil in hell, you ain't gonna win. You ain't gonna stop me. How do I know? Because God woke me up this morning. If you had more power than God did, he wouldn't have woke me up. But the fact that God keeps waking me up day after day after day after day after day after day after day, baby, I got news for you. A bullet can't stop you because God woke you up this morning. And if God keep waking you up, he's going to keep fighting you about it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Somebody tell your neighbor, it's going to happen. It may not happen today, but if it don't happen today, you're a day closer to the day it's going to happen. It's going to happen. That's why God wakes me up. Why would God wake me up if he don't have nothing for me? Why would God wake me up if he didn't have a blessing waiting on me? Why would he give me strength? Somebody ought to. The Bible said, let everything that has praise the Lord. That's number one. As long as he keep waking you up, you know that day is coming. Point number two, praise not only reveals your connection, but praise will challenge your expectations. I got you to walk with me here in verse 3. The Bible says the man asked for some alms. Simply, he asked for some money. Yet to understand his request, you must notice his request was tied to his position. He was laid at the gate of the temple. When Luke tells me where they laid him, he already reveals what the man was about to request. If you don't believe me, it's because your request is tied to your position. I can often tell what a person wants by where they are positioned. If you don't believe me, when you pull up at the gas station and somebody is standing at the pump with a smile, you already know what they're going to be requesting. Let me see if I can make this plain. When my children look at me with those puppy dog eyes, I already know that they're going to request some money or some toys or something. What I got news for you, your position tells a lot to do with your requesting. Pastor, I can walk in church on Sunday and I can tell the folk that don't want nothing. Because you got some folk that sit with their arm fold like they've been sucking on lemon heads, like their bunions are hurting. They sitting there with their arm folded. The usher asks, do you want a program? I don't want no program. I don't want no envelope. But I got news for you. Gas is too high to drive to church and not expect nothing. I came to tell somebody here. I came to shout with somebody here. I'm tired of going to church with folk that don't want nothing. I don't praise for no reason, because grandmama taught me a long time ago, when praises go up, blessings come down. So I got news for you. If you don't want nothing come down, don't sit next to me, because this is the sending up row. I don't want God to look down and think I'm you. I want God to know that I want something. I
want something from the Lord. The Bible said, let everything that has praise the Lord. I got news for you. If you're sitting next to somebody with a sour attitude, you better move. Because I got news for you. Just like cheap is contagious, bad attitudes are contagious, chicken pox are contagious, measles are contagious, and Christians that don't want nothing are contagious. I can't sit next to you. I want to be on a road with some folk that want God to open up the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing. I won't have room. Somebody ought to high-five your neighbor and say, do you want something? Because if you don't want nothing, I need to move, baby, because I need some help. I need somebody that's going to help me praise the Lord. I wish I had a witness here. I wish I can shout with somebody here. Anybody going to help me praise him? Anybody going to help me lift him up this morning? Anybody going to open up your mouth and tell the Lord thank you? Anybody going to raise your hands and say, Father, I thank you? Anybody gonna stand on their feet and say, Lord, I thank you for every mountain you brought me over, for every valley you seen me through, for every blessing. Hallelujah. I thank you. I thank you. I feel like preaching here. I said, I feel like preaching here. I got news for you. If you don't expect nothing to happen, then you in the wrong place. This is a place of expectation. Right here in the text, right here in the, your position not only reveals your request, but it also illustrates your expectation. Verse number 5, he took heed and he looked on them and he was expecting, somebody shout expecting. He was expecting to receive something. Can I work right in long in here? If you want something from God, Luke is revealing there's a three-step process. Step number 1, you got to ask. Step number 2, you got to look in the direction where you're asking. And then step number 3, you got to expect to receive something. Let me make that plain. You got to ask. Then you got to look in the direction where you're asking. And then you got to expect to receive something. Let me illustrate this. You got to ask, Lord, I need it. But you got to look in the direction of where you're asking. You see, if I was asking something from Pastor Joshua, I would look at Pastor Joshua. But if I'm asking for somebody in the balcony, I would look at the folk in the balcony. But I'm asking something from a God that sits high and looks low. So that's why the Bible says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. All of my help coming from the Lord. I got news for you. Can I make you a shout? If you leave church and you know what everybody was wearing, you know what they tie in their shoes, you wasn't looking in the right place. Because if you look up, you ain't got time to look this way. You ain't got time to look behind you. I'm looking up to the one I'm talking to right here in the text, the Greek word. Let me see if I can make this plain. The Greek word translated expectations means to give thought to something that is viewed as lying in the future. When you are expecting something, I'm expecting to receive something that's waiting on me in the future. Yet if verse 3, this bothered me, Pastor Joshua, if verse number 3 says he asked for some money, why does verse 5 says he was expecting something? Verse number 5 should say he was expecting money. But verse number 5 says he was expecting something. I couldn't move. I started to call you and help me, Pastor. Verse 3 says he was wanting some money. But verse 5 says he was expecting something. Now, they taught me in English class that there should be a connection between verse 3 and verse 5. If he asks for money at the beginning of the paragraph, when he expects something in the middle of the paragraph, if you want to know what he's expecting, you just refer back to what he's already at. But verse 3 says he wants some money, but verse 5 says he was expecting something. Y'all ain't going to walk with me. Unless, Pastor Joshua, what he was asking was not what he was requesting.
Let me see if I can make this plain here.
Sometimes I ask with my mouth, but I expect with my heart. And sometimes when I think you can't fulfill my heart expectations, I would just ask you to give something out of my He looked at Peter and John and said, in my heart I want to walk, but it don't look like you can. So maybe I'll just ask you for some. Ever since I was a child, I was hoping one day I could walk. That's my internal request. But you look like ordinary men. It looked like an ordinary church. And so because I believe you can't fulfill my expectations, I'm just going to ask you for something simple. But in my heart, I'm going to I wish I can talk to somebody here. It's just like asking somebody to borrow $5 when you really want them to give you a job. Can I make this plain here? It seems like in verse 3, he's requesting something limited, something tangible, something temporary, a temporary fix to a lifelong problem. But verse 5 reveals that he was asking for money, but he was expecting something. This is powerful because he shifts from a specific request to a vague expectation. Let me make this plain. When you got vague expectations, your expectations are based on the ability of the one you're asking. That's why Peter and John says, look on us. Look on us. You see, we're ordinary men, but I got the answer. Peter gave me the answer. Peter said, look on us. Now, I thought, because I got the pronoun us, I thought the us he was talking about was Peter and John. But Pastor Joshua, that wasn't the us Peter was talking about. I thought the us was Peter and John. But that wasn't the us he was talking about. I thought the us was in chapter 3 of the book of Acts. That wasn't the us he was talking about. What are you talking about? What us? The us in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 where it said, let us make man. I got news for you, baby. When you need a blessing from God, don't look on us. Look on the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the us that we all need. What Peter was saying, don't just look on us. Look at the us. Us is representing. We are only the us representatives. The us power is the one that's in heaven. I got news for you. Every child of God, if you don't hear nothing else I say, baby, listen up when I'm going to tell you this right now. Everybody in here got some us power. I said, everybody in here got some us power. If you don't believe me, let me, no weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper. If God be with us, he's more than the world against us. I got news for you. When you walk in the nursing home, you got us power. When you walk in the hospital, you got us power. When you walk in the bank, you got us power. When you walk around devils, you got us power. When you walk around double-tongued people, you got us power. When you walk around backbiters, you got us power. When you walk around negative two-tone backbiting devils, you got us power. I got news for you. I'm not afraid of you because I got us power. I'm going to talk to the folk that don't like me. I'm going to shake hands to the folk that can't stand me. I'm going to scug the folk that's lying on me because I want you to know that as long as I got us. I wish I can talk to somebody here. Now I want to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. I got us power. Somebody will say, I got us power. I got us power. I don't care if you don't like me. I got us power. I don't care if I make too much noise. Sit up somewhere else. I got us power. I know you looking at me like, well, what you shouting for? You don't know what I'm shouting for. And I got news for ain't none of your business what I'm shouting for. But I'm talking to the one that, you know what? Can I be real with somebody here? You can't beat church folk being highfalutin. They come in there with their suits on. They come in there with the lace on their Bible, matching the lace on their hat, and they sit next to them like, you better be glad I showed up this morning. You better be glad I'm a member of your church, because I can go somewhere else. I got news for you, baby. I'm going to make as much noise. I'm going to shout your hat off. If you won't shout, I'm going to shout it out for you. If you won't stand up, I'm going to stand up for you. If you won't shout, I'm going to make enough noise for you, because let everything that has praise the Lord. Somebody ought to grab your neighbor's hand and say, neighbor, don't make me praise for you. You better praise for yourself. Can I be real? We were sitting at home about a week or so ago, and my wife was sitting there. No, we was out at Chili's, and Ella, we sit in a booth, and Ella always sit next to Love, my wife, and Ella likes to bounce on the pee. She just bounces on the pee. My wife said, stop bouncing. I said, well, she's bouncing. She said, but she's bouncing, and she's bouncing the bench, and the bench is bouncing me. Y'all missed that point right there. You better be careful where you sit, baby, because I'm a bench bouncer. I'm going to bounce this bench. And if you're going to be still, you're going to be sitting there. If you don't. Do I got any bench bouncers in this place? Do I got anybody here that'll make a pew better? I wish I can talk to somebody here. I got news for you, baby. I make a bench pray. Lord, give me strength to hold this crazy Christian up. I wish I was right here in the text. Praise not only reveals your connections, but praise will challenge your expectations. But praise will also give you abilities you have not developed. Can I pray right along in here? Praise will give you abilities you have not developed. Verse 6, Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such that I have, I give unto you. Let me tell you, if you don't have it, that does not mean you can't give it. Now, let me say that again. It's just Peter saying, just because you don't have it, don't mean I can't give you. What are you talking about? Well, I'm trying to say, I don't have what you're asking for, but I'm going to give what you've been expecting. Right here in the text. Silver and gold have I none, but such a. In the name of Jesus. I almost did a flip right here. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Here, Luke provides a narrative illustration to the biblical principle that he says in Luke chapter 11, verse 9. He says, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened. In verse 2, he asked for money. Verse 5, he expected something. Verse 6, he received more than he asked. Let me say that again. Number 2, he asked for money. Verse 5, he expected something. But verse 6, he got more than he asked. I'm going to make you shout. In verse 2, he asked for money. Verse 5, he expected something. Verse 6, he got more than he asked. Maybe somebody over here know what I'm talking about. In verse 2, he asked for money. Verse 5, he expected something. Verse 6, he got more. Maybe a choir member know what I'm talking about. In verse 2, he asked for money. Verse 5, he expected something. Maybe somebody in the balcony know what I'm talking about. In verse 2, he asked for money. In verse 5, he expected something. Maybe an usher know what I'm talking about. In verse 2, he asked for money. Preachers, do you know? In verse 2, he asked for money.
Verse 5, he expected something. And verse 6, he got more than he asked for. I got news for you, baby, in the name of Almighty God. When you learn how to pray, watch God give you more than you asked for. Glory to God. God will give you more than you asked for. I said, God will give you more than you asked for. Let me leave you alone when I tell you this. The only way, the only reason he received it is because he stayed in position. I got to make a shout right along in here. In other words, when you're begging for money, you got a cup in your hand. And when he expected something, he didn't just ask and take his cup back. He kept his cup in position. I got news for you. You got to learn how to stay in position. It may not happen today, but I'm going to stay in. I'm going to stay. I may not get the job today, but I'm going to stay in. I may not get the call today, but I'm going to stay. Somebody out of high five, somebody say, stay in position. What are you talking about? When you raise your hands, don't take them down till you get what you've been expecting. I'm going to keep my hands up. I know it's time for the offering, but I'm going to keep my hands up. I know it's time to move on, but I got to stay in position. And when he stayed in position, can I make you shout, Pastor Joshua? In my sanctified imagination, I believe God looked down from heaven with a smile on his face and said, you're going to need a bigger cup. I don't know about you. I don't know what size of your cup is, but my God said, you need a bigger cup. Your cup ain't big enough. Your expectations ain't big enough. Your mind ain't big enough. Somebody at a high five, three people say, get a bigger cup. You need 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 a bigger cup. Your cup is too small. Your cup is too small. Your cup is too small. Get that small stuff out of here. Get that small stuff. Your cup is too small. Your cup is too small. Get you a jelly jar. Get you a mayonnaise jar. Get you a gallon jug. Get you a Walmart basket. Your cup is too small. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above you can ask or think. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above you can ask or think. Somebody shout with me. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above you can ask or think. Hallelujah. 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 Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, the everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lifted up, the everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is. You need a bigger cup. 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 Get that coffee cup out of here. Get that water glass out of here. Baby, get you a bucket. Get you a wheelbarrow. I tell you, my God is able. Why would you bring a small cup to a gallon size party? Why would you bring a coffee cup?
Right here in the text, the last thing says, he'll give you the ability that you have not developed. This man had been lame from his mother's womb, never able to walk. He could crawl, but he couldn't walk. They didn't teach him to walk because his legs didn't work. But when he met Jesus, nobody had to teach him how to walk. He started walking. He started walking. He never learned to walk, but he walked with power. He walked with authority. But that ain't the shouting part. He never learned to walk, and he sure didn't learn to leap, but he started leaping. He started dancing, and he danced his way in the church. And when the church folks saw him, they started walking. They started dancing. Not because God healed them, because God healed somebody else. I came to ask Shiloh in this place, can you shout for somebody else? Can you dance for somebody else? Can you stand up for somebody else? Can you kick for some? Can you dance for somebody else? I don't know who that person is, but baby, I'm going to shout for you. If you don't feel good, I'm going to shout for you. Now, I used to be a wrestling fan, and I used to love the Bushwhackers. Now, the Bushwhackers, they was crazy, but it was two of them. And when one of them was getting beat, they would just tag their other brother. I came to tell somebody, when I get tired of praising, you praise for me. When I can't holler no more, you shout for me. Somebody ought to tag somebody. We gonna praise this thing together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.